Amen. We've been dealing with the parables, the kingdom of God. Would you stand? We're going to read the parable for this week, and then I want to encourage you to keep your scripture open. We'll be reading verses around what we read in the text this morning. Matthew chapter 12, we will begin reading at verse 25. Here it is again. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children or your disciples, your followers, cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. Amen. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how could one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Verse 29, or else how could one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man? I want to preach this morning on binding the strong man. Binding the strong man. I'm going to preach this morning, we don't have to be bound and robbed by Satan, because Jesus has bound Satan and taken back from him what he has stolen. Aren't you glad we can be set free because of the work of Christ? Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, anoint me to speak. Lord, these words that you have spoken to get across the truth of the kingdom, make it a living thing, a real thing in our hearts this morning. May we hear from heaven. May the strong man of someone's life be bound this morning, and may they be set free by Jesus, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Brother Tim, just a little on the monitors this morning. I don't know how many of you remember this, but Brother and Sister Alexander have a granddaughter that was a hero just a few years ago. She was a junior in high school. By the way, this made it clear to the Reader's Digest. She was a junior in high school, and she and a friend were at their house in the night. And it was Christmas time, and the car sitting there at the house was full of Christmas gifts. And they heard something, and their granddaughter looked out and saw this guy trying to break in and steal their Christmas gifts. So here this junior in high school, she took Taryn out of the house, chased that guy down, threw him to the ground, yelled to her friend or cousin to bring something to her. So she brought a horse bridle. And their granddaughter took the horse bridle and tied that guy up, and they called the police. I'd hate to be that guy. I mean, not only prison, but I mean, I've seen the girl. I mean, she's a smaller girl. Wasn't that refreshing, though? You know what normally happens is they break in and they tie up the homeowner and take everything they have. But this time it wasn't the homeowner that got bound. It was the thief that got bound. Hallelujah. And that's what Jesus said. There's been a thief on the loose. He's been taking this and that, destroying and ruining and wrecking lives. But when I came, it wasn't he that did the binding. I, Christ, did the binding. I bound him who had been stealing. Hallelujah. Isn't that a wonderful truth? I'm telling you, Jesus has bound the strong man. Over and over, Satan has bound folks up. He's stolen everything they've had. But this parable says that Jesus has turned tables on him, bound him, and taken back from Satan what is not his. And so I'm going to preach this morning through this whole message. We as believers don't have to be bound. We can do the binding. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Listen, Brother Wilson, we don't have to be robbed. We can take back from Satan what he has stolen from us. because of what Christ has done. As we've been doing, first of all, we're going to look at what is going on. These parables have a context. They fit into the story of Christ's ministry on earth. What is going on? Verse 22, then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and Jesus healed him. He healed him by casting the demon out, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. Here was a man whose muteness and his blindness was a result of demonic possession. They brought him to Jesus, and Jesus immediately and effortlessly healed this man by delivering him from the demonic spirit. The Bible says the man began to speak and to see. What was the man speaking? I kind of feel like he was speaking about what he was seeing. Hallelujah. It was a notable, undeniable miracle. Verse 23, this is what's going on. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? When that crowd saw Jesus cast out that demon, they saw that man begin to see, they heard him begin to speak, they understood what that meant. That meant the kingdom of God had come. That meant that the Messiah they looked for had come. That phrase, they said, is not this the son of David? That phrase, son of David, meant Messiah. Oh, when Jesus loosed that man and healed him, the people understood the Messiah had come. Glory to God. I want you to know nothing's changed. He has come, and he's here in our midst by the power of the Holy Spirit this morning, and he can lose folks this morning as well as he did on that day. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Here we're dealing with those Pharisees again. Those insanely jealous and feeling like their authority was threatened. Those Pharisees. Mark says the scribes were part of that. They heard the conclusion of the people seeing the miracle, the conclusion that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, what I want you to note, the Pharisees could not deny that a remarkable supernatural miracle had been worked. They couldn't just say nothing happened here. That was trickery. That was illusion. They could not say that. It was evident to all, and Jesus' critics, the Pharisees, that a true supernatural miracle beyond the nature of men had been worked. In fact, they knew they would be unable before the people to cast doubt on the fact that Jesus did a miracle. They knew they would convince no one that there had not been a display of divine and supernatural power. And so since they could not deny the miracle, they began to say, yes, a miracle has been done, but they attributed it not to the power of God, but they attributed it to the power of Satan. They said, yes, a miracle's been worked here, but this man Jesus did it by the power of Satan. Isn't that silly already? Amen. They said, in other words, by Satan's power, Satan or Jesus made this man see, and Jesus made this man hear and speak. In fact, they were so brash, and they're attributing Jesus' power to the devil. In fact, they said he did it by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. In fact, Mark puts it this way, Jesus. Now think of this, what they're saying, the Pharisees. Mark said they said that Jesus was possessed. Jesus hath Beelzebub in him. Look at what, I mean, these weren't sinners saying this thing. These were the cynics of the secular world saying these things. These were the religious folks, the religious men, the Pharisees that had the audacity, couldn't deny the miracle, had the audacity to say that Jesus did the miracle. Because he was filled with Beelzebub. Who is Beelzebub? That means the chief of devils, the prince of devils. But literally, Beelzebub was the name of some of the idols of nations round about. around that literally means the Lord of flies or the Lord of dung. Think what they were saying of the Master. A miracle been worked. Instead of praising God and bowing at his feet, they said he was filled with Beelzebub, the prince of dung, the Lord of dungs. The Pharisees were claiming that Satan was working through Jesus, when in fact Satan was working through the Pharisees. Think about it. The Pharisees said that Satan was working through Jesus, when in fact he was working, Satan was working through the Pharisees. It had been the first time that the devil has worked through religious folks. Amen. That's what was happening. Jesus will explain after the parable that this is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. To say the power of God and what's done by the power of God is the power of Satan is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Look in verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoso speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Jesus said, you think you're just attacking me and attacking my saying something against me, but in fact, he told those Pharisees, you're attacking the Holy Ghost, because the power with which I worked this miracle was the power of the Holy Ghost, and you have just said that the power of the Holy Ghost is the power of Satan. You have attacked the Holy Ghost. You have blasphemed the Holy Ghost. This is what blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is. I've had folks come to me as pastor, and when I was a teacher, very disturbed. They'd say, oh, Brother Hurst, I think I have committed the unpardonable sin. I have blasphemed against the Holy Ghost. I explained to them from this passage that they weren't blaspheming the Holy Ghost. But I'll tell you what is blaspheming the Holy Ghost, and that is to see the power of the Holy Ghost at work and attribute that and say that's nothing but the power of Satan. I'd like to say to our non-Pentecostal friends, you should be careful when you say that speaking in tongues is of the devil. That's real close to blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. It's in the book. It's in the book. And to say that when people are moved upon by the Holy Ghost, to say that was the power of the devil, you've entered the camp with these Pharisees. That's blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Why is that not able to be forgiven? Because when a person blasphemes against the Holy Ghost, they have offended the one they're going to need to be saved. When you speak against the Holy Ghost, you speak against the one you're going to need to have salvation and forgiveness in your life. How many knows we need the Holy Spirit to convince us we have done wrong? We need the Holy Spirit to show us that we are lost. We need the Holy Spirit to bring us to repentance and thus forgiveness. We need the Holy Spirit to bring us to Jesus and make him real to our hearts. We need the Holy Spirit to do the internal work and rebirth us into a new life. We need the Holy Spirit. And as long as you're claiming that the power of the Holy Spirit is the power of Satan, you are sinning against the very one who can bring you to salvation. How many knows the Holy Ghost moved on your heart and brought you to Jesus? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's what's going on. Now, what is the earthly illustration? In fact, there are two parts to the illustration. Jesus has a two-part parable here. The first part of the parable, Jesus used it to illustrate what wasn't happening. What wasn't happening when he healed the man? You know, it says here in verse 25, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, you know, we need to keep in mind that Jesus knows our thoughts. Could it be true that even today in the sermon, Jesus is attempting to answer our thoughts? Think about that. I've been amazed. I know my limitations. I know this frame. I know all that. But that aside, that's the wonder of it all. Amen. You come in here from all walks of life, all backgrounds and situations and circumstance. But in the Word, unbeknownst even to myself, God is able through the Word to talk right to your thoughts and answer your thoughts. Isn't He a wonderful God? Amen. Let's read on. He answered their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your disciples, your children, cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. This first little parable here Jesus used to explain what wasn't happening. He wasn't casting out demons by the devil. That would have been a division of Satan's kingdom, and a division in a kingdom brings weakness and destruction. Abraham Lincoln made this scripture famous when he gave the speech before he was president. The speech, a house divided. America was divided over the slavery issue, the states' right issue. And Abraham Lincoln gave the speech, a house divided. And he said, a country cannot long remain both. It'll either have to be one or the other. Why? When you get something divided, it's not long. You weaken that thing to the point that there is destruction. What if our government set one of its armies, one of its corps, against another corps? It would destroy our nation. We saw the devastation of the Civil War in our country and across this world. When a nation gets divided, there's nothing but weakness and destruction. That would be like an offensive lineman tackling one of his own running backs that had the ball. Jesus wouldn't use that illustration, but I did just for the sake of some of you. Amen. So it'll click. He said that's like an offensive lineman chasing down and tackling his own running back that's carrying the ball. Even that's silly to say that Satan has cast out Satan. There's division. How many knows that America today is sharply divided? Perhaps more so than at any time before. We're getting rid of everything that united us. God used to unite us. The Word used to unite us. Amen. The Constitution used to unite us. And now we're a divided nation. And Jesus' parable applies here. That division will bring weakness and destruction and devastation. We've seen what division will do to a country. We've seen what it'll do to a church. How many have seen a church split and a powerful church becomes a weak church? We've seen what it'll do to a home through divorce, breaking apart of a home, splitting up a home, getting mom to fight with dad and kids to fight with parents. I'm telling you, there's division, amen, and it'll bring weakness and destruction. Amen. Jesus said, by this I'll tell you what's not happening. This is not Satan coming against Satan. He's too wise for that. He's not going to weaken and destroy himself like that. And then the second part of this parable, when Jesus gives the illustration, what was happening? It's an extension of the parable. Look at verse 28. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then is the kingdom of God come unto you. Oh, this isn't Satan. This is God. This isn't a civil war in Satan's own kingdom. It's not Satan at war with Satan. This is God at war with Satan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is one kingdom advancing on another kingdom. This is God's kingdom invading Satan's kingdom. Don't think Satan's fighting against himself. Look in verse 29. Jesus said, I'll tell you what happened. You've got it all wrong what happened. I'll tell you what happened. Verse 29, an illustration, Jesus tells him what happened. Or else, how could one enter a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man? Then will he spoil his house. We call this home invasion today. Now Jesus said, given you're used to Satan doing the home invasion.
You're used to Satan coming into your home, your life, and binding you and stealing from you. But Jesus said, since I, the Son of David, have come, the home invasion is of a different kind. This time I'm doing the home invasion. This time I am invading Satan's territory. This time I will do the binding. I will bind Satan. I will walk in and I will retake what he has stolen. How many knows he's come to steal, kill, and destroy? But Jesus has come that we might have life and have it more abundant. Oh, glory to God. Satan may have invaded your home this morning. If you'll turn to Jesus, Jesus will track him down, tie him up, and help you reclaim what Satan has stolen. Oh, someone say amen. When a burglar, here's Jesus' illustration, a burglar breaks into a house, but he encounters the homeowner standing there, perhaps armed, but determined to repel the burglar and keep him from stealing his goods. When that illustration happens, the burglar has one of two choices. He can flee and give up his thievery at that house, or else he can attempt to overpower the homeowner and tie him up so he, the thief, at his leisure can steal what he came to steal out of the house. Even the option the burglar does not have is to ignore the homeowner and just go about stealing things. He can't do that. The homeowner's armed. He's not going to let that happen. Amen. Jesus said, I have come. Satan has tried to resist me, but I came with the purpose to set the captive free. I came with the purpose to take back what the enemy has stolen. And I'm not fleeing from him. He tried to resist me even in this man. He tried to keep him blind, tried to keep him dumb and mute. He tried to resist me, but when he tried to resist me, I just tied him up and took that man right from him. Satan had stolen that man's sight, stolen his speech, no doubt stolen his hearing. And Jesus said, I bound up Satan. Amen. He had stolen that man from the family of God. And Jesus said, I bound up Satan and took back what he had stolen from his very territory. From his very territory. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible says here he will spoil his house. Spoil means taking valuables by force. Amen. Jesus had cast out that unholy spirit, that devil, by the Spirit of God. But he did it by first binding Satan that he might unbind that man. You know, I want to get clear this morning. God is not in a death struggle with Satan. It's not like they're just about equal. But God just has a slight edge on Satan, and after much fighting, God will finally prevail. I'm telling you, God's foot is already on his head. Anything that Satan does, he does within the perimeters and limitations that God has set for him for a short season as God brings his plan to fruition. God's not in a death struggle with Satan any time. He could flick his finger. In fact, he did that here. I'll get there in a moment. And Satan would be gone. How many knows our God is all powerful? How many knows that greater is he that's in the believer than he that's in the world? Hallelujah. 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 Amen. That's what happened here. Look in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. Amen. John said, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Sister Dale, there's a lot of works of the devil all around us. There's works of the devil that we're acquainted with in our own homes and maybe our own lives. But we need to remember something. Jesus has come to destroy the works of the devil. And he does it by binding the devil. What was Jesus driving at? Amen. Look in verse 23. And he called them unto him and said unto them, how can Satan cast out Satan? We're going to get to that in a moment. But I want you to know, a lot of people today, they don't believe in Satan. But Jesus did.
A lot of people feel like they're too smart, too educated to believe in Satan. But Jesus, the most wise man to ever live, he believed in Satan. He affirms here that Satan is a reality. Hallelujah. I feel things even preaching on this subject starting to tighten up. The enemy doesn't want us to get these truths here. Amen. He'll either get you to feel like Satan is no issue or that he's too big an issue. I want you to know neither of those are true. Satan is an issue, but he's not too big of an issue. Hallelujah. Amen. He is real. Jesus affirms that Satan's not just an idea. He's not a poetic thought. He's not just a personification of evil, but Satan is a personal evil being in charge of an army bent on destruction. Verse 23, we're going to see that the Pharisees' claim was just completely ludicrous. That's what Jesus said. Their claim was plain ludicrous. He called them unto him and said unto them, how can Satan cast out Satan? That doesn't make any sense. When Jesus said, how can Satan? It's not how can he have the power to, but how could he have any power if he continued to fight against himself and advance against his own cause? Satan, how can Satan cast out Satan? Satan, being Satan, desires to hold on to lives. He desires to keep his hold and destroy them. How could he ever bring himself to let anybody go? Why would he want to let anyone go whom he had already taken in his hold, his grip, his embrace? Why would he willingly give up any territory that he has taken? But mostly Jesus said, how can Satan cast out Satan? How could he keep his power and go about fighting against himself? Amen. Jesus said, that's just a silly, silly thought. And he proves it with this parable that goes against the principle that division always destroys. These Pharisees were being silly. Beyond all that, a good act had been done. I'm telling you, a man that's blind and can't speak, for him to see and speak, that is a good act. I mean, they wanted to say it's the power of Satan, but the apostle penned, and he said Jesus went about doing good and healing. How did he do it? He said being full of the Holy Ghost. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Oh, hallelujah. Those Pharisees were being silly. Satan's not going to do a good act like that. Satan doesn't put homes together. He tears them apart. Amen. Satan doesn't heal folks. He makes them sick. Satan doesn't set free anyone. He binds them up. Can't you see, you silly Pharisees? A great, good miracle has been done. A man is seen. A man is talking. A man's been set free. That's not the work of Satan. That's the work of our good Savior. Oh, hallelujah. What was Jesus driving at? That there are only two sources of supernatural power. Verse 27, if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, whom do your disciples cast them out? You know, the critics, these Pharisees, they rightly concluded there had been supernatural power manifested, and they rightly concluded that if it wasn't God's supernatural power, it had to be Satan's, because they realize there's only two sources of supernatural power, God and Satan's. We live in a society we like to blend that. In fact, Jesus put him in a corner. He said, if I cast out devils by the power of devil, then your little disciples that are claiming to cast out devils, whose power did they cast it out? Because it's true for them too. They were either casting out devils by the power of God or the power of Satan. But our society would like to blend things and say, you know, there's God's supernatural power and there's Satan's supernatural power, but there's a whole lot in between that's neither God's supernatural power or Satan's. I'm telling you, when they begin to talk about good witches, good vampires, good magic, white magic, they are wrong. There is no such thing. If it didn't come out of God's camp, God was not the source. Satan was. And there's no way that Christians should relish and partake of that stuff in the form of movies and books and all of that, because if it doesn't directly derive itself from the power of God, it derives itself from the power of Satan. And you let that in, you're letting Satan come in and divide the house. Amen. Verse 27, if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, whom your children cast them out? Verse 28, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. You got it wrong. It wasn't the power, it was the power of God. You should have concluded that the kingdom of God has come. I have bound the strong man, Jesus said. You see, Satan had a lot of treasured possessions, but every one of them he had stolen. I'll tell you what Satan's treasured possessions are. They're broken marriages, they're tormented minds, they're addicted bodies, addicted by drugs and alcohol. His treasured possessions are the homes he destroyed. Amen. He has stolen those things. But Jesus said, the kingdom of God is coming to you. And I, by the Spirit of God, I have bound Satan, and I've taken from him those treasured, ruined lives. I've retaken them, and I've rescued them, and I have taken them back from his hold. Amen. He said, the Spirit of God is coming to you. Luke puts it this way. Luke 11:20, but I with the finger, if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is coming to you. How many remember when Moses worked those miracles there in Egypt? Even those pagan magicians, Brother Keith, said it's the finger of God. This is no trickery. This is no illusion. It's the finger of God. And what it literally means is God has pointed his finger. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. That man was blind and dumb. But when the Son of Man came and looked at him and pointed his finger, that was the finger of God. All the power of God was directed through Christ and entered that man's body and set him free. I'm telling you, God can just point and do the miracle and set free. Last Sunday night, he just pointed at a lady and dealt with her heart and transformed her to a born-again believer. Oh, I got excited about that. I know it's just rhetoric, but if the finger of God can open blinded eyes and cause that dumb man to speak, think what the whole hand of God can do. And his arm is not shortened. Hallelujah! He can put his hand upon us this morning. Oh, glory to God. I said, glory to God. What was Jesus driving at? Last of all, everybody must decide what kingdom he's going to be a part of. What kingdom are you going to be a part of? Matthew 12:30. Jesus, he's concluding this parable, and he applies it this way. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. I'm telling you here this morning, if you've not aligned yourself with Christ, you're in the wrong camp. You're against him. And the other camp is not a neutral camp. The other camp is the camp of Satan. You say, preacher, that's too straight. It's the truth of God. If you're not in God's camp this morning, you're in Satan's camp. There's no in between, no neutral, no gray. Oh, how do you believe? Yes, I do. With that being said, I'd like to say this morning, could you say it with me with upraised hand? I'm on his side. I'm not against him. I'm on his side. Glory. I'm on the side of the one that binds the strong man. Oh, hallelujah. You got a strong man in your life? He can bind it this morning. Last of all, we've been applying these. What should we do? We'll be brief, but hear this. I'll bring it all together. In the parable, the strong man is Satan. It's his territory that he has invaded. The treasures are those that he has stolen from God. But the parable implies that the converse is true as well. On the other hand, there is the true strong man, and that is Jesus. Jesus is the strong man whom none can bind. Satan can never bind the strong man Jesus. Oh, can you shout glory? Amen. Not only can Satan not bind him, Sister Chrisman, but Satan can't take anything from the strong man Jesus. I want to tell you, if you're saved this morning, amen, you're in the house of the strong man. Hallelujah. John said, you are in his hand, and no one can take. You can leave it, but no man, no demon,
No devil can take you from the hand of the strong man. Are you in his hand this morning? Glory to God. Blessed assurance. Jesus is, oh, blessed assurance. I'm Jesus. I'm in his hands. He has possessed me. And no one's going to take and bind him and take me from the strong man Jesus. Oh well, glory. Someone shout glory. Hallelujah. On another note, in our world, America has in the past been the strong man, the superpower of the world. I don't want to depress you, but what is going to happen when America has let Satan bind her? America has been the strong man of our world. Now she's bound by debt. She's bound by immorality. She's bound by all this political mess. She's bound by anti-God beliefs and attacks. Amen. I'm telling you, we're in a frightening place because Satan has bound the strong nation, America, and there's going to be great devastation in our world. But I want to talk to the believer for a moment. I want you to know you are the strong man of your life. Yes, with Christ in you, but you are the strong man of your life. And you decide whether you're either going to be that strong man and live for God and keep things out of your mind, heart, soul, and house, or you're going to be a weak man and let them in. Amen. Every believer here, if you're a man and you're married and you have children, you are the strong man of your house. In fact, I would say this, you with your wife, I'm sweaty, but go ahead and stand. You and your wife are one flesh when you're married, and being that one flesh is strong man of your house. Even be the strong man of your house. You let Satan come in and bind your mind with pornography as the head of that home. He'll go in there and he'll steal everything out of your house. Amen. It's true. I'm telling you, parents need to be on the same page. Amen. I said, they need, come on, you're one flesh. You're the strong man. If dad's saying to the kids, don't play that video game, don't watch that, but mom sneaks around and says, go ahead and do it. Amen. You've just let the strong man be bound. Amen. Keep your mind pure. Keep those things from coming in that would bind you up. Take your prayer life. Take your worship. Because that's Satan binding the strong man to come in and take whatever he wants. I'm telling you, if you don't live for God, you have set yourself up for Satan to bind and steal everything that's near and dear to you. Briefly, I want to talk about the unbeliever. Satan has but one goal. He never had a good agenda. His goal is to bind you as an unbeliever and rob you of everything you have. If you're a young person, hear me, young people, right here, I'm about done. Right here, hear me. If you're a young person, Satan wants to bind you up with the mess of the way this world thinks so he can steal your purity, steal your walk with God, steal your future, steal your opportunity for one day having a great marriage and a great family. Oh, if you're not serving God, Satan will bind you. He'll take your spouse. He'll take your children. He'll bring division and destruction. What's most valuable to you, he will take. And I'd like to say with all compassion, if you're here this morning and you're not serving God, take note, Satan's binding you up to rob you blind. But let Jesus be your strong man. Let him move in. Take control of your heart, your home, your household. Let him be your strong man. And Satan will be unable to spoil your heart and your mind. Oh, can you say glory? You say, sounds like you're hurrying, Pastor. I am. I'm just about done. But I want to say a brief word to the church. What does this parable to the church say? It says, we as a church need to invade Satan's territory. Bind him in the name of Jesus and take back what he stole it. That's what Jesus did when he walked this earth. And we, the church, currently are the body of Jesus Christ. And we're to be doing the same thing that he did.
Listen, young people, when you walk through Drexel inviting folks to sidewalk Sunday school and church, amen, you need to keep in mind you have invaded Satan's territory. And with the help of the Holy Ghost, we want to see the strong man of that area bound so we can take back what he has stolen. And he has stolen a lot, and he has ruined and wrecked a lot. But I'm telling you, we don't have to sit back and let him do it unchallenged. We are the church of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are filled with the same Holy Spirit that Christ was. And it's time that we do the invading, and we do the taking back of the territory, and we bind the strong man, and we take back what he's stolen. Can you say amen? This whole incident happened because someone brought that man in need to Jesus. I want to tell you, we cannot save the lost. We cannot heal the sick, but we can bring them to Jesus. We cannot deliver the bound, but we can bring them to Jesus, and he can do it. We can bring them by our invitation. We can bring them in our vehicle, which many of you do. We can bring them by our lives. We can bring them by our word of testimonies. We can bring them by our singing. We can bring them, and we'll bring them by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And last note I have to the church: what is true of every kingdom is true of the church. If we let Satan come in, there's no problems. I'm not saying it's because there is. It's just a pre-warning. Whenever we let Satan come in and begin to divide, the power of this church will be destroyed. There won't be services like there was Sunday night. There won't be outreach like we have. And that's why we must stay united and say, Satan, you're not going to come against us and bring division, because Jesus is our strong man, and we rally around him, and we refuse to give you an inch in our territory. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad the strong man is bound this morning? Would you come, music? They haven't caught him yet. We saw the pictures this week. They're in Libya, where those rebels forced their way and fought their way to Gaddafi's compound. They didn't find him there, but we saw the pictures of them carrying out everything he had there. His treasures, both personal and military. Brother Mark, they marched right in there because they ran that strong man out. Hadn't caught him yet, that I've heard, but they did run him out. If they caught him, they'd tied him up. But the results was the same. When they ran him out, they were able to march in. And the picture showed them carrying out everything that was in that compound. That's what Satan would like to do to you. He'd like to so bind you up that he could steal everything precious to you, everything dear to you. Hallelujah. If you're praying with me this morning, let me see your hand. You're praying God will touch and move someone. But I'm telling you, it's also a picture of what Christ has already done. You can come out of that mess because he's bound the strong man. The strong man can't keep you in it. If you want out, he can bring you out because Jesus has bound the strong man. I don't care how messed up your life is, how much influence the enemy has had on your life, how many bondages you have, addictions, you can be set free if you want to be, because Jesus has bound the strong man, and having bound him, he'll walk right into Satan's territory. Right into Satan's. He did it for you, see, so one day, he bound the strong man of drink, marched right into Satan's house. Would you come and grabbed him out, brought him completely out of Satan. You don't live there anymore, do you? The strong man's been bound. He marched right in there. This was one of Satan's treasured possessions, but Jesus bound the strong man, marched in there, and took him out. Hallelujah. Would you stand and worship the Lord? Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. If you're here this morning, you want to be set free, he'll set you free. He has bound the strong man. He has bound the strong man. You want to be set free? Ask him to come get you right now. Say, Jesus, come get me. Bring me to the altar. Take me out of Satan's house. Bring me out of Satan's house. Bring me out. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's pray all over the building. Hallelujah.
That enemy, he has ruined, he has wrecked, and yet still people follow him and serve him. It doesn't do anything but torment and destroy and ruin and wreck. If they would just call Jesus, Jesus would bind that thing that binds him. He has led captivity captive. Oh, hallelujah. I said he'll bind that thing that binds you. And he'll march into Satan's territory. And he'll bring you out. He'll take you out of the kingdom of darkness and translate you into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have forgiveness of sins. Is there one here this morning that would like to be set free, like to come out of Satan's territory and be a part of God's kingdom? Are you here this morning? You say, the enemy has destroyed and ruined and wrecked my life. I'm asking Jesus to bring me out and bring me into his house, his kingdom. Are you here? You'd like to come right now. Saints, pray all over this building in the name of Jesus. You'd like to come out. Hallelujah. God is reaching for you. I want to tell you one more time. He will bind that thing that binds you, and he will lead you out. Are you here? You'd like to come out of darkness into light. You'd like to come out of hopelessness into hope. You'd like to come out of that division and destruction and to the glorious workings of God who will set you. Are you here? You like it? You'd like to come out. All right, I'm going to invite the church to come and pray. And you may be a visitor. We use this step that runs across the front. We use this as an altar bench. If you'd like to come and pray, I promise you, come to this step or this first pew. Begin to pray. There'll be someone here to pray with you. Would your church begin to come? There may be a strong man in your life. It's taken control. It's an addiction. It's something that's taken control of you. You wonder why your home is having so many problems. Amen. You as the strong man, the parent, the mom, have been bound by the enemy. He's coming in and destroying your home. Amen. Say, I don't want that. I don't want that. Amen. I want to be set free. I want to be delivered.
Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me.
Oh, hallelujah.
Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Satan like a roaring lion roaming to and fro.
Amen. Would you like to come? The Lord will help you this morning.